Let us turn again to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 25. We will try to consider again verse 1. Deuteronomy 25 at verse 1. If there be a controversy between men, and they come into judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. They shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. And when we were considering this at the earlier service, what we were trying to do was to apply this to God judge. And he judges righteously. And therefore, he justifies the righteous and he condemns the wicked. And we are to bear in mind that what we have here are two opposites. If somebody is not condemned, that person is acquitted. That person is accepted as righteous. And especially when we apply that to the work of Christ or the work of God in judging sinners, as that will take place at the end of this world, and as that takes place, as one sinner after another goes into the eternal world, they are either acquitted, they are either accepted as righteous, or else they are condemned. And it would be good for us to be examining ourselves and seeking to know, under the light of God's word, what we are, where we are, what kind of judgment does God pass on us? Are we righteous or are we condemned? And I referred to the verse in John chapter 3 which says, he that believeth not is condemned already. Condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He has not believed in Christ, the Savior of the world. But, you see, we were trying to speak first on condemnation, and then we went on to say a little about justification. And one point about justification is this, before we go further, that that justification is God's sentence when he accepts a sinner who was condemned. That sinner is brought to believe in Christ. That's the kind of sinner, or that's the actual sinner that I'm trying to speak about. He or she is brought to believe in Christ, laying hold of the righteousness of Christ, laying hold of what Christ has done in the place of sinners. And that sinner is accepted. That sinner is no longer has anything held against him by God. What a deliverance. What a change. And how earnestly we should be seeking that for ourselves. And that's what's presented to us in the gospel. That's the good news that is presented to sinners. That there's deliverance. Deliverance from the condemnation. Yes. Deliverance from condemnation. And are you seeking that yourself? Are you going before God in prayer to ask for that acceptance? Not because of anything that you do or can do. It's acceptance for the sake of Christ. It's a rescue, you see. We're familiar enough, or a lifeboat or some other boat to be sent out to rescue somebody who is sinking in the water, or where a ship has collided with a rock or with another ship, and a lifeboat is sent out to rescue as many people as possible. Well, here we have a rescue. And God in Christ Jesus doing all that was necessary to make that possible. And the Lord Jesus is sending out to rescue sinners. Yes. He sends ambassadors out, and we'll come back to that idea, I hope. Sending ambassadors out to make known, to make a proclamation that there is salvation for sinners, that sinners, however close they might be to drowning, can be rescued. And there are prayers in Psalm 143 that we might well use if we're feeling that, so to speak, we are drowning. Drowning under condemnation, we might put it. We might use these verses from Psalm 143 at verse 6. My hands to thee I stretch. My soul thirsts as dry land for thee. Haste, Lord, to hear. My spirit fails. Hide not thy face from me, lest like to them I do become, that go down to the dust. Yes, there's many a petition in the Word of God that we can use. I've said that many a time. And there's many a petition in the Psalms in particular. And as you go reading through the Psalms, then you might come across a verse or a part of a verse. And you might say to yourself, that suits me. That is suited to me as a sinner. That's something I can use, as one might use the prayer of the publican, the tax gatherer, and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's something we can use. That's something we should be using. This is something we should be using. My hands to thee I stretch. My soul thirsts as dry land for thee. Haste, Lord, to hear. My spirit fails. Hide not thy face from me, lest like to them I do become, who go down to the dust. Deliver me from going down to the dust. Deliver me from going down to the pit. Deliver me from distraction because of condemnation. Oh, accept me for the sake of Christ, we should be saying. Accept me for the sake of Christ and what he has done. And make me willing. Draw me. Make me willing to come to Christ, who is such a suitable Savior. What a good thing it would be if we were all sensing what a suitable Savior Christ is for the likes of us, for any of us. Christ is a suitable Savior. Yes. Well then, let us notice this one thing just now about condemnation. How will we be delivered from condemnation? It's for the sake of Christ. And can we be doing anything that will bring about our deliverance from condemnation? Well, no. Nothing directly. You see, what we have again in the book of Job, and I think it's again what Job himself said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Who can bring a clean soul in the person of any sinner. Who can bring about a clean soul? Who can make it clean when it is filthy, when it is polluted by sin? Who can deliver a sinner from destruction? Who can deliver himself from destruction or herself? That's the question. There's an answer. Not one. If the question is rather different, if the question is, what should we be doing in the hope of getting deliverance? Deliverance from our filthiness, deliverance from condemnation. Well, there's an answer. What should we be doing? Well, we should be making the maximum use of the means of grace. Going to pray, reading the Bible. Going to hear preaching. You see, going to public worship, and we'll be prayed for there. That's one thing about coming to church. There's many a blessing associated with it, but there's this, that when we go to church, we will be prayed for. Whoever is leading in prayer, as a minister would do that in a Sabbath normally, but who will he pray for? Good people, yes. He might have special petitions for the people of God, but he will be praying for everyone. He will be praying for the ungodly. That's it. That's one reason for coming to church. Or someone might say that they don't find it interesting to listen to a long sermon. Well, hesitate. Do more than hesitate before you stop coming to church. You're putting away from you the blessing you might have as a result of being prayed for. Not as if you were the only one present, but you are there with everyone else. And when a prayer is offered up for sinners generally, for the unconverted generally, and you are among them, is it not worth coming? Of course, it's our duty to come. But putting it another way, is it not worthwhile coming to church that you might be prayed for? What a blessing to have prayer offered up. What a prayer, what a blessing for people at home going to family worship, that they are prayed for there. Let's say it's your father, as will often be the case, that is taking family worship and praying. And he prays for you as a family. Is it not worth being there? Is it not worth making every effort to be there so that you will be prayed for? Well, though this is true that we cannot save ourselves, we should be making use of every effort, every opportunity of getting a blessing. We should value these things and value the prayers of God's people. Yes. But let us go on and say something about justification. There's only two sentences that the judge can pass as far as sinners are concerned. A sentence of condemnation or a sentence of justification. Here is someone who is justified. And What makes that possible? Well, I said something about this already, about Christ having once suffered for sins. I'm not sure if I quoted that verse or not, but I quoted just now. Christ has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, the just in the place of the unjust, the just one in the place of those who are not righteous. And let me put it like this. We're here, and we might have some sense of being sinners. Perhaps it's a faint sense, but let's leave it at that just now. But we might have some faint thought, how can I be saved? If I cannot save myself, how can I be saved? How can I be saved? Well, Christ is the answer to that question. Through what he has done, he once suffered for sins, the just in the place of the unjust. Sinners, in other words. The unjust are sinners. And Christ died instead. Yes. What a great thing that is. As someone who was taking a Sabbath school class was being told how to conduct a lesson. And it was on the Passover. And he was told by the superintendent, or whoever it was, tell the children that the lamb died instead. Yes. And what are preachers to do? To tell the people that Christ died instead. There's hope, yes. There's hope of being justified because Christ, the Lamb of God, died instead. And it was my understanding that the teacher who was instructed in that way got good for his soul through that thought. The Lamb died instead. So it's at the very center of the gospel message. One speaks about substitution. That's it. The Lamb died instead. The people in the house of the Passover, they deserved to die. They were sinners. Ah, but let them look up. Let them go to God in the light of this. What was being illustrated to them in that picture of the way that sinners can be forgiven, the Lamb died instead. And so let us bring it on to Christ. Christ is the Lamb of God. Christ is the Lamb that God provided. What are we to say? Oh, this, the Lamb died instead. Christ is the substitute. Let us get a firm grasp of that by God's grace. Ask the Lord to write that in your soul. The Lamb died instead of sinners. The Lamb of God died instead of sinners. So there's hope. There's hope for a lost world. There's hope for individual lost sinners. Get that view of Christ. Ask the Lord to impress it on your soul. Ask the Lord to grant that he would impress that thought in your mind. Christ died instead of sinners. Christ bore the penalty instead. Christ suffered instead of sinners. He took the guilt of sinners. He took the guilt of sinners upon himself. And he died. He took the punishment upon himself, so that sinners believing on it would go free. Yes. Oh, let us be asked that the Lord would come upon us in his grace and write that upon our souls, impress that upon our think, so that we would look to Christ. Where is the one that can deliver us from the wrath to come? Where is the one that can deliver us from condemnation? It's Christ. He's on the throne of glory. He can draw sinners to himself. He can impress the truth about himself on our hearts. Be asking him to do so. Be asking him to come by the Holy Spirit and impress the gospel truths upon your heart. He is able. Nothing is too hard for him. There's unforgiven, there's condemned sinners here this evening. You need Christ. Are you praying? Are you sending up your petitions to the great God of heaven? Are you asking him to bless you with all spiritual blessings? Are you asking him to make you see that he is the substitute for sinners, a suitable substitute? Oh, it might be some circumstances in which somebody is appointed as a substitute for someone else. And it turns out very quickly that he's no use, no use whatever. How far that is from what we should say about Christ. Christ as a substitute for sinners. Christ as a suitable substitute, as we have been noticing in Hebrews. As Christ, when it says that Christ, such a high priest became us. Such a high priest was suitable for us as sinners. Somebody might be inclined to question that, to doubt that. But no, no. May we be kept from doubting these things. May we get a living faith in Christ as the one whom the Bible says he is. And may we be brought to see that he is a suitable Saviour for the likes of you and me. A suitable Saviour, a fit Saviour. One who suits us. Suits us in our needs as sinners. Who need to be put right. Who need to be turned from our own ways. Who need to be forgiven. Who need to be justified. Who need to be sanctified. Who need to be adopted into the family of God. It's all in the provision. An eternal provision. Yes. Christ once suffered for sins. His one sacrifice was perfect. It doesn't need to be supplemented. It doesn't need to be repeated. That's unbelief. That's a rejection of the sufficiency of the one sacrifice of Christ. Yes, it's altogether suited to our need as sinners. Yes. Now, see how Christ was brought before the high priests at one part of his trial or trials, and they condemned him to be guilty of death. And we should take that in to our thinking of the work of Christ. He's there as a substitute for sinners. And though the trial is unjust, yet they condemned him to be guilty of death. but not in the way that they were thinking. He had done no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. They had no authority to condemn. And yet, you see, in the wonderful working of God, in connection with what Christ has done, what you have is this. He was condemned to be guilty of death. And there was a righteous condemnation. A righteous condemnation by God, not by men. How could the innocent, holy Jesus be condemned? It's this, that the Father laid on him the iniquity of us all. All whom the Father had given to Christ from all eternity to be his people. Yes. But you see, when we read, they condemned him to be guilty of death, and they were wrong. And yet you can look at these words and take them in a much higher sense, a much more glorious sense. There was no glory about that condemnation. But you see, we're to think of Christ being where he was because the Father laid on him the condemnation of many, the condemnation of all who were to be delivered from the wrath to come. Yes. And he was the one who has been taken through all this according to the righteous work of God, that he, as the substitute, might suffer the penalty. As we noticed already today, that the wages of sin is death. And he comes before God, and he says, I will take my wages, as it were. I will take my wages as a substitute for sinners, that sinners might be justified, that sinners might be delivered from the wrath to come. I will take my wages so that sinners might be justified, so that they might not have to take these wages themselves. That, you see, is what's to happen to the condemned who stay in that state of condemnation, who refuse the free offer of salvation. And they must take the wages themselves. And there's others who have been justified, who have been accepted for the sake of Christ. And what happens to them? There's no wages left. Christ has taken them all, as far as they are concerned. Christ has taken their wages. That's it. Oh, it's all wonderful. Take it in whatever aspect you will, and what you should be seeing is wonder. Wonder, wonder, wonder. Yes. Christ is the wonderful Savior who took the wages of sinners so that sinners might be justified. Yes. And where does that take us? Well, let it take us here just now. Let it take us to Isaiah 53, and I'm only going to refer to one verse. And that is, by his knowledge, well, let's go further back. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. What does that say? That Christ would look at what he has done. And you see, if you're doing something, you might ask yourself, have I done enough? Have I done it well enough? Christ looked at the work he was carrying out. And what does he say? It is perfect. God's justice is satisfied. in connection with all that were given to me, to Christ. There's nothing left for anyone to do, as we were hearing not so long ago, that verse as a text. It is finished. He looked at the travel of his soul, the labor of his soul, and he was satisfied. He had done a perfect work. And you take a look at Christ and his finished work. And what are you to see? What are you to see? It is finished. And therefore, you see, you're to cast yourself on that Savior, the Savior that God has provided, the Savior that God has appointed. And he says himself, you see, he's perfect. He judges these things perfectly. He judges his own work perfectly. And this conclusion is, his judgment is, it is finished. It's all done. The work is complete. Oh, you feeling your own sin this evening, come to Christ. Take a look at Christ and his finished work. Take a look at that work and say, it is finished, it is perfect. Yes, it is perfect. You have your needs. You have your guilt. You have your spiritual uncleanness. But take a look at Christ. And there is the perfect remedy. Let us go together, as it were. Let us go together to Christ. He can handle us all at once. There's no need for a queue to form. As when, say, you go to the doctor. May not be in the form of a queue, but there's people waiting. Well, there's no need for a queue when you go to Christ. You can all be seen at once. That's the power of the Savior. He can handle all that come into God through him. He can handle them together perfectly. Oh, go to him. Let me go with you. Let us go together. Let us all go together, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But you see, we'll go a little further with Isaiah 53. You see, what we were saying just now was that Christ looks in his own work and he is satisfied. And that goes on to this. It follows on in the same verse. By his knowledge, by a knowledge of him, a believing knowledge of Christ. By that, God's righteous judgment, God's righteous Savior will justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. We have the Lamb bearing the iniquity of those that he was the substitute for. Well, there's justification flowing. Justification by faith. And it flows from that work. Yes. It flows from that work. By his knowledge. By coming to a saving knowledge of Christ. That's what we're called to do. To come. Christ is saying, come unto me. Come unto me that you might know me. Come unto me and that you might know my finished work. Yes, come unto me. In other words, trust in me. Come unto me for salvation, a perfect salvation. Yes, do not go away unbelieving. Do not go away unbelieving this evening. Do not go away unbelieving this moment. Yes, there's a full and a free salvation set before you. and you are assured that none perished. None perish that him trust. And there's this. The Lord is well pleased for the sake of Christ's righteousness. And the believing sinner is well pleased with the righteousness of Christ. Yes. The Lord is well pleased. And therefore we should be well pleased with the work of Christ. He has magnified the law and made it honorable. We make it dishonorable by our sin, breaking the law. But the Lord honors it. And Christ honored the law when he gave himself as a substitute for sinners. Christ honored the law. He magnified the law. Yes. And you see, it's a broken law as far as we're concerned, and our activity, and our disobedience, our sin. But there's this, Christ made the law honorable. The law has claims, the broken law has claims to make on the sinner. But oh, how the law is magnified, how the law is glorified by what Christ has done. When he made provision for sinners to be justified, to be accepted, it's as if when they believe that the Lord is treating the work of Christ as if it had been done by the believing sinner. Yes, it's as if, and it's just. There's salvation for sinners. The sins are forgiven. Now, you see, all our sins could be forgiven, and yet there would be the state of our souls. They could still be sinful. Ah, but, you see, the Lord is treating the sinner because of Christ's work, because of what Christ did in keeping the law. God is treating the sinner as if the Savior's law-keeping was the sinner's law-keeping. Or you might despair of ever keeping the law of God. Do not despair. It's not that you will ever in this world keep the law perfect, but you will be treated as if you had kept the law if you believe in Jesus. He takes your place, not only that he might provide for the forgiveness of your sins, but that he might provide for you being accepted as perfectly holy. No blemish, no spot. It's all taken care of by Christ. He magnified the law. He magnified it totally. Yes, there's no shortcoming left to be laid to your account. Christ has taken it all, and you are justified if you believe in Jesus. You see, it's this, that sinners are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, justified freely by the grace of God, the kindness of God in providing salvation, and in bringing the sinner, in drawing the sinner by the Holy Spirit, so that he looks to Christ. Yes. You might be concerned about your own inability to keep the law, to do anything to obtain forgiveness from God. No, he does it all. He has provided Christ as a substitute for the sinner. He makes the sinner able and willing to look to Christ through the Holy Spirit working in his soul. Yes, it's a complete provision. Do not despair. but by God, seek by God's grace to look to Christ and to receive this perfect salvation for none perish that trust in Christ. And you see, if a judge in one of our courts was to say, I'm not going to hold any of your crimes against you, you can go free. But was the law magnified? Was justice exalted by such a procedure? No. It was dishonored. But you see, the difference when a sinner is forgiven, the difference there is this, that Christ took the punishment instead. And so when sinners are justified, God is just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. When God justifies a sinner, it's because he has given Christ to take that sinner's place. And God's law is magnified. The grace of God is magnified. God is to be worshipped, and he will be worshipped by all these justified sinners throughout eternity, never endingly, in other words. And you see how Christ put things. Verily, verily, I say unto you, in John chapter 5, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, shall not be condemned, but hath passed from death unto life. Again, let me say, it's a complete salvation. The sinner is forgiven. The sinner is accepted. The sinner is justified. The sinner is treated as if he had kept the law of God perfectly. It's all the work of Christ that lies behind that. But you see, the sinner gets the benefit. The benefit of the work of Christ. The benefit of what Christ done, what Christ did as a substitute for sinners. And even if I'm repeating myself to some extent, if Christ is being set before you in that way, as the one who has done so much and done that work perfectly. Yes. And if you are still saying, I cannot save myself, what hope is there for me? Oh, again I tell you, go and look to Christ. Seek grace to trust in him. Take him as a Saviour that is suited to you and your need. Take him as a Saviour. He is suitable for you. He has finished the work. The work is finished. Nothing needs to be added to it. When you are, or if you are rejecting Christ, if you are disbelieving Christ, then you are in effect saying the work of Christ needs to be supplemented. I cannot receive salvation merely because Christ died. Oh, look to him. However far away you might be, however difficult it might be for you to receive salvation, oh, look, ask the Lord to open your eyes, the eyes of your soul, so that you might see Jesus. Ask the Lord to draw you to himself. If you cannot come, if you are collapsing under the weight of your sins, still, do not despair, do not give up. Christ died for sinners. Christ, a suitable Saviour for sinners, he died. Look to him as that kind of Saviour. Receive the benefits of that work. Turn away from your sin. He is able to save to the uttermost, seeing he ever lives to make intercession. Now, we read in Exodus that the Lord will not justify the wicked. Now that is where the wicked person stays on in his wickedness. Where the wicked person pursues a course of wickedness. But salvation is not just a case of forgiveness. There's this in it too. The sinner is made holy. Do not let your sin, your sinning, stand between you and Christ. Because Christ has provided a complete salvation. Sinners are made to look to Christ, not only for forgiveness, but for regeneration, for a power to make you holy. Yes, it's all provided for. And you cannot raise a difficulty. But the Lord has been there before you in making a provision for sinners. If you're saying, I cannot make myself holy, but the Lord is able to make you holy. He has made provision for making sinners holy. And if you are to believe in Christ, if you come to believe in Christ, then it will be a complete salvation. You will be made whole. And however unable you might be to keep God's law, however unable you might be to deal with any aspect of your need, oh, take another look to Christ. Or take that first look to Christ. And remember what he is able to do. There's nothing that he is not able to do. It's a complete salvation. Take it, you see. That's what we're to do. And may the Lord give his grace to take that salvation. In that look to Christ, when that is brought about by the Holy Spirit, there's a willingness to take Christ and salvation through him. And I was going to comment on Solomon's prayer, which we read. I think I'll leave it just now. But your attention has been drawn to it. Solomon at the temple, and he's praying for blessings, basically for the sake of Christ. Mightn't be explicitly mentioned, but that's what's in it. Solomon, by God's grace, is looking beyond what he can see. And the sacrifices that are to be offered there, there's a greater sacrifice to be offered. Yes. And as you go through the petitions, try and make them your own. But I said I would come back to this matter of ambassadors. And I'll do that briefly. What Paul says at the end of chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians, we then, as ambassadors for Christ, beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's a minister's message. Paul was a minister, beseeching souls to hear the voice of Christ speaking through. And that's what we're to be doing. Christ speaking through his ambassadors, giving them a message which they are to relay to the people that hear him. Yes, we are ambassadors, representing the great King. And so we beseech you, for your own good and for the glory of God, that you would receive that message, that you would be reconciled to God. That you would receive the way of salvation as it is set before you. Set before you in the Bible particularly. But set before you in the preaching of the gospel. The work of Christ on behalf of sinners. Look to him. be reconciled to him. The means of reconciliation are there. Receive them and receive Christ. Receive the gospel message. Look to Christ. And you see, here is Paul giving the gospel message. It's as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, instead of Christ, coming as ambassadors representing the great King, be reconciled to God, for he hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, to be sin in our place, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God's gift of righteousness to sinners. Oh, then look to him. We'll be know over these truths, and you see, the believing sinner looking to Christ as a substitute. He is accepted by God on behalf of that substitute. Yes, the sinner is justified. And that sinner, that justified sinner, will be brought safely at last to a better world. That sinner will not be condemned on his way into eternity. That sinner will not be condemned at the judgment seat at last. He is justified. She is justified. Because of what Christ has done, we're to look to Christ. We're to look to his finished work. We're to rest our souls on Christ and his finished work. Yes. We as ambassadors for Christ beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. Bless us, Lord. Give us views of the greatness, the effectiveness of what Christ has done. Give us views of Christ speaking to us this evening. Though it is but an ambassador, a sinner in himself that has relayed the words of Christ. But remember us all. Give us grace to pray. Help us to make use of these petitions that we have heard this evening. Give us thy blessing. Pardon our sin. Be with us always. Prevent us from going away into greater sin than may be the case, than is the case just now. Keep us from the sin of unbelief. Keep us from rejecting Christ and rejecting the call of salvation. Bless us now. Bless us always. Do us good. Pardon our sin. And, O Lord, bless the preaching of the word everywhere this evening. Do wonderful things. Nothing is too hard for thee. Bring peace to the troubled parts of this world. And where the message of peace between sinners and thee is brought, grant that there would be a blessing. Apply thy word everywhere. Bless the circulation of the scriptures. Do wonderful things. O Lord, subdue sin. Bring down Satan and his evil plans. Bless the truth. Pour out thy spirit. Grant to turn many to righteousness. Keep us, Lord, from evil. Make us whole. Bless thy word. And bless all that is done in thy name in all parts of the world. Pardon us and keep us and make us thankful. For Jesus' sake, amen.